A reading from Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Word of God, word of life.
This is the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist." Others, Elijah. And still others, one of the prophets. And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. And then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who want to lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. A word for the weary. What is the weariest that you have ever been? What is the weariest that you have ever been? For Bob, it was that moment when he was captured as a member of the army in the Korean War. Captured all of a sudden out in the jungles near the dividing line between North and South Korea. Captured by the North Koreans and taken prisoner. The weariest was as they went through processes of torture for him and put his body in inscrutable pain. The weariest was wondering if he would ever make it home again, alive. Stories like this one are some of those that the author Lawrence Gonzalez explores in his book called Deep Survival. It's a book that he writes about people facing extraordinary circumstances. Circumstances that many of us, even in our wildest nightmares, would never come up with. Circumstances like being a prisoner of war, being caught behind enemy lines. Circumstances like facing an avalanche as you're hiking in the mountains in the snow, or being trapped in the desert all alone. Circumstances where survival is on the line. And he explores these, wondering what is it that helps some people to make it through, to get out of these circumstances and to continue into life, and what is it that makes people lose themselves in these dark and dire circumstances, these moments of deep survival. What does it take to save your life? It's an interesting read because I think we all have this fear of what if? What if things don't turn out? What if things don't turn out the way that I wanted to? And maybe that comes up when we're out in the wilderness and the chaos of creation can strike us with powers stronger than we know. What would we do if we were down in Louisiana when that hurricane comes in? Or in New York when the floods? How do we survive? But it's not just those moments of natural disaster and calamity that face us. It's also personal moments. What do we do if the person that I want to be friends with doesn't want to be friends with me? What do we do if I'm rejected? What do we do if I lose my job? What do I do if my dear loved one dies? How do I survive? What does life look like going forward? For Jesus and his disciples, this comes up too. He talks openly now with his disciples about who he is and what's ahead of him. As Peter says, "You are the Messiah," and sees this moment of clarity about who Jesus is, Jesus tells him, "And as the Messiah, I'm going to have to do some things. It's going to be hard." And Peter rebukes him after Jesus talks about how he's going to be killed and how he's going to be rejected and how he has to undergo great suffering. Peter rebukes him, and Jesus speaks in that moment, rebuking Peter, telling him that this fear is not the way of God. Peter is afraid of what Jesus lays out. It doesn't match up with what he thought the Messiah was supposed to be. And in that unexpected moment, in that moment of uncertainty, he has some fear. And fear, like the fear of my child climbing on this ladder. Here, just, I'll take him. Come here. Oh, hi, Eden. Fear. This is a fear. Here we go. Fear is what Lawrence Gonzalez talks about as one of those things that is the difference between life and death. In those moments where we are faced with incredible challenges, he says it's not the equipment that you have. It's not the technology that you have access to that helps you survive, though those things do sometimes help. But oftentimes, when pushed to the limit, when pushed to the brink in a new situation, they are not... Come on back. Successful. Okay, you just spot him. Goodness. Fear of being a parent. Yeah. Okay, buddy. So it's not what you have in your hand. It's not the technology. It's also not necessarily your knowledge, what you have in your head. It's not necessarily how much you know, how trained you are, how specialized you are in that particular circumstance, though those things can help. But more than what you have in your hand or what you have in your head, Lawrence Gonzalez says that what will lead you to live in these moments of crisis, in these moments of survival, is what's in your heart. It's what's in your heart. And what was in Peter's heart that morning as he looked ahead into the challenges that he would face alongside Jesus if he would continue to follow him, that put some fear in his heart. And Jesus had to speak to that in that moment, because fear is what's going to get you killed. Fear is what's going to make it...
We don't want fear.
Yeah, fear is no good. Instead, it's having a positive mental attitude, Gonzalez says. It's being able to look ahead with hope. Being able to look ahead with knowledge that it's going to be okay. And as Jesus looks ahead into that moment of rejection, into that moment of even death, and he doesn't see the fearful parts. He sees the life that's coming, and the life that will not be quenched by that darkness, the light that will shine in spite of it all. Jesus looks ahead and sees gaining the whole world. What will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? What can you give in return for your life? But those who lose their life for my sake will save it. As he looks into the face of death, Jesus shows us a way. And he encourages us to follow him. Take up their cross and follow me. If you want to be my followers, take up your cross and follow me. And it can be hard when we hear those words. Bearing a cross sounds pretty hard. And indeed it is. We think of all the things that it's going to require us to do. What does bearing that cross today look like? What does it mean? How much work am I going to have to do? How hard will I have to work in order to save my life? But this isn't what Jesus means. Now, it's going to be hard, the things that we're required to do. But Jesus leads us away. And this is where it becomes important to know who Jesus is. Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? Who do the people say that I am? Well, maybe you're John the Baptist or Elijah or a prophet. Sort of these people continued in life. And Jesus asks, but who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah. In that moment, Jesus says, that this is true. That I am a man, but I am also God. A man can only do so much. But Jesus knows that a God can do anything. As Jesus encourages his disciples to follow him, He encourages them to follow him, yes, as a man, but also knowing a power beyond human comprehension. Knowing a promise beyond human capability. Knowing a faith beyond human understanding. In that moment, Jesus moves forward in life towards that struggle. And he does so seeing a way forward when human minds could see none. To survive in the weary world, we follow Jesus. Jesus guides us. And how does Jesus guide us in this moment? How does Jesus guide us? We talk about Jesus as a guide for us in church a lot. We talk about how Jesus is sort of our guide, our pilot in life. How we want to be like Jesus. How we ask ourselves in difficult situations, what would Jesus do? And as we read the scriptures, sometimes as we look at the scriptures and we look at the situations that we face, they don't always line up perfectly. And it's hard to know what Jesus would do. We don't have a story in the scriptures about Jesus facing a worldwide pandemic. We don't have a story in the scriptures about Jesus facing the challenges of nuclear war. We don't have a story in the scriptures about Jesus making amends with his mother-in-law. We don't have stories in scripture about Jesus managing relationship like marriage. And yet, Jesus is our guide in all of these moments. Jesus is our guide. How does Jesus become our guide? How does Jesus guide us in a world that looks so different than the one that Jesus walked in? As he moves forward, Jesus shows us a way. And as we look at the way that Jesus moves, we can learn to follow. Jesus does so in his world with an openness. He opens himself up to the people. He faces the challenges of the chief priests and the scribes, those who understood faith as something that would cut them off from other people, leading them to live in a certain way that makes them a little more holier than thou, a little more blessed than those around them, and seeks a way of faith that is one that's sort of this ivory tower. But Jesus says, no, I'm going to become anathema to all this. I'm going to face the cross. I'm going to be open, radically open to the world. Not just following the precepts, but responding to the needs in the moment. And this is another point of survival. Being able to adapt in those situations and to be open to what comes. Still with that idea and that positivity of hope and love. Jesus goes through his life looking at the circumstances that he faces in a way that responds in the moment and responds with hope to the circumstances as they come, not seeing them with rosy glasses, not avoiding the challenges that come, but finding a way in hope to move through them. And for us, as we follow Jesus, the man, and Jesus, who is our God, let us do so as well. Facing this continuing challenge of our world, facing the challenges of a new program year and figuring out how we will be together in this Delta variant time, as we continue to try to keep one another healthy, continue to be open to the world, to respond in the moment for the good of all, and to see in that response a word of hope. The word for the weary this morning. So Jesus says, take up your cross. And that cross is a hard thing to bear. But Jesus also says, follow me. And he'll lead the way. And if we follow Jesus and live with that openness of heart, that profound hope that knows no limits, then the challenges that make us weary, whether they be extreme or they be every day, will be as nothing in light of our faith. Amen.